Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I'm here in very rainy, very dank, very cold northern New Jersey, enjoying the respite from the triple digit heat, which last time I checked was called summer. But anyway, I'm here with not here with, but I'm joined by my partner and friend and co-podcaster, JJ Sefton, in the wilds of Wisconsin. Mr. Sefton, how are you doing?
I am doing well, sir. Sorry about the heat. I guess we sent it your way, but it is sunny and just seasonably nice and summery and warm here in southern Wisconsin. And so we're happy for that. So all is well and going well out here.
Marvelous. Marvelous. So, how was it going in the United States of America?
That is to be determined. There are some uplifting and positive notes, I think. And then there is insanity, as I pointed out in my editorial this morning over at Cutjib Newsletter and Ace of Spades for the Morning Report. The two big stories, really nationally, is the seemingly the potential crashing and burning finally of this Graham Plattner clown. The Democrats seem to be have had enough of his nonsense.
I
So
wonder though.
I don't know,
Listen,
bro.
he it's up to him and him alone. They can't throw him out. He
No,
won
but
the primary. What I
of
would love
course.
to see is if he just if he if he sticks it out and becomes the the loser in the main Senate race. I think it'd be fantastic.
Absolutely. The only fly in the ointment for that is that, yes, I mean, he's an outright insane anti-Semite Nazi freak, but he's running against Susan Collins, who basically is essentially a Democrat in all but label only, as they say. She is a horrible, horrible person. But I mean, certainly, I'd rather her be useless and occasionally a backstabber as opposed to a full-on Nazi freak like Plattner as a senator. That would be completely unacceptable.
My guess is that Plattner is going to hem and haw and reevaluate and make all the pretty noises that the press love to gobble up. And then somebody's going to pay him off. He's probably in it for the money right now. Because he obviously he's not going to win. I can't see him winning in Maine. Collins is polling fine. She usually does better than the polls indicate. So she's probably going to win by 5 or 10%. But Plattner, my guess, as I said, my guess. I have no information to back this up other than the fact that he's a sleazebag. He's just looking for a payday, and some
Yes.
deep pocket Democrat will shoot him a check for $5 or $10 million, and he'll be set for life. And he can go on Grindr or Tinder or whatever the apps are to get laid for the rest of his life, and
Exactly.
he'll be a happy
Well,
camper.
exactly. I mean, he doesn't have to go rape anybody like his wife or
Which
whoever,
he
his
still
girlfriend,
will do because
which he
that's
still
just
will
how he
do.
rolls.
And that's the reason for the latest antagonism from his own from all sides really against him is that his wife accused him basically of raping her. I mean, this guy is a real
Yeah, he's a piece
well,
of work. But what really is important is that the Democrat Party was perfectly happy to accept him as one of their own. Only when the
yeah.
pressure from the undeniable data that show that he's a fucking lunatic and a nasty piece of work, and a vile human being, are they reevaluating their support of Plattner.
As
This
I
is
said,
a it's a reflection of the Democrat Party. Plattner is just a symptom, but this is the Democrat Party that is now exposing itself in all its glory.
And as I said this morning, let's see, a Nazi-loving, anti-Semitic rapist. I mean, he's the ideal candidate, I think, to be the next president of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He
Or
checks
Columbia
all the
University.
boxes. Or a university, exactly. Or, I mean, he's a perfect Democrat. They're sleazy, they're criminals, they're perverts, they're degenerates and scum and anti-Semites. The anti-Semitism is now in your face, part and parcel of the Democrat Party. Not just merely the Democrat socialists or socialites, as I call them, but the mainstream Democrats are anti-Israel and anti-Semitic. That is their platform. So enjoy it, Democrats. But for sure, everyone is screaming for Plattner to get out. Everyone from Schumer on down, they want him gone. So I guess they must fear that he's gonna implode. But yep, he'll be paid off, and that'll be that. And Susan
Yeah.
Collins, I guess, will once again have another interminable 6 years as being the senator from Maine.
Well,
And speaking of interminable rhinos,
yeah.
the big story that came out yesterday is Mitch McConnell is either gravely ill or he's dead. Nobody really seems to know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just about to say before you interrupted me. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Said I.
Absolutely. McConnell, you know, it's easy for us to take shots at the Democrat Party, but we have our own version of it, and that's the corporate GOP that supports people like McConnell, who, let's face it, folks, he was good for the Republicans and for conservatives in America in a very, very narrow channel. Or narrow path, and that is the appointment of some of the judiciary, and holding the line against what was his name, the guy that Biden,
Merrick Garland.
Merrick Garland. No, I'm sorry, not Biden. Obama, right? Wasn't
Yeah,
it Obama who
I think it was Obama who put
nominated
forth
Merrick
Merrick,
Garland, who was a horror show and would have been an
as we know
awful,
now
awful.
in history.
Yeah. But that's about all that McConnell has done. And what the positive stuff that he has done is dwarfed by the corrosive influence that he has had on the United States Senate. I think he, more than most, is responsible for the degradation of the United States Senate and the diminution of it. And it used to be a relatively impressive body, and now it's a clown show.
Well,
And
certainly
McConnell
his.
holds the lion's share of the blame for that.
Yes, and certainly his complete fecklessness and uselessness, with the exception, as we said, of opposing and preventing Merrick Garland from being on the Supreme Court, thank God. Outside from that, he's done nothing. He really has done nothing to advance the cause of liberty, and he's tried to stonewall President Trump in both terms of
No, he
office.
hasn't tried. He's succeeded.
Succeeded, unfortunately,
You know,
yes.
the unfortunate thing about Mitch McConnell is that he was a fine, fine practitioner of the art of sleaze in the United States Senate. He was very good at it. And that's probably the worst part about him. That's not true. His wife is a piece of work, too. Now, so supposedly, the EMTs were called, the paramedics were called to his Washington home in June, I think it was.
I believe so. Yeah, and his wife is Elaine Chao, the former
former
transportation secretary, I believe.
yeah, or labor, I don't remember
Labor,
which one.
whatever.
Supposedly he was in full cardiac arrest. They had to do CPR. And for a man in his mid-80s, having that done to him is brutal. Those are
For
the kinds
anybody.
of things that people of that age simply don't survive. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. And supposedly he has been essentially comatose for a month in the hospital, or however many weeks it has been. And 3 days after, his charming wife jetted off to China to improve the graft that she and her husband get from the Chinese Communist Party. To me, that's unbelievable. It speaks to her vileness as a human being, but also her traitorous behavior toward the United States. The Chinese Communist Party is our enemy. There is no doubt about that. And for her to cozy up to them for whatever reason, I think is simply awful. And I would hope that the Department of Justice investigates her connections to China and their Communist Party. They probably won't, but.
Well, exactly. She had too much influence, too much corruption. But who knows? I mean, and along with her, we also have Eric Swalwell with Fang Fang Yum Yum, whatever. Him being a dupe, of the Chi Coms, and also Dianne Feinstein, the late and not lamented Dianne Feinstein, had a chauffeur driving her around for like 25, 30 years, who was a known Chi Com intelligence agent,
Yeah.
and also Grace Meng, I think she's a a congresswoman from New York City is tied to the Chinese Communist Party, and several other prominent and not so prominent politicians have direct links to communist China. And this is just, and plus, academia, plus the private sector and elsewhere are infiltrated by the Chinese communists, and they are robbing us blind of our intellectual property, of our scientific advances, our intel, and they are a mortal threat every much as bad as Islam is. And as I said, whichever one doesn't knock us off first, it's going to be the others, whether it's the Muslims or the Chinese communists. But they are both mortal threats to this nation. And unless and until we do something about that, we are really screwed. But Elaine Chao is also a great argument for, really punishing as best we can anyone who is involved in this grift and graft, and also for term limits, as is the case with McConnell and everybody else who is in these octogenarian fossils who remain in Congress just so that they could graft the Treasury and so on and so forth, and use their influence not only for their own purposes but to sell out the country in that vein. And that's got to change.
Look at the comparison between our founders. There are probably 10 or 15 names that everybody in America knows. Well, they used to know.
Right.
And they were young men during the revolution, before and during the revolution, and into the creation of our Constitution. And they were young, and then they moved on. And
yep.
You look at our current crop of scum, and they're in their 70s and 80s. They simply will not let go. And
up until a very recent period in our history, or not even that, it was a while ago, there was no such thing as a professional politician.
Yeah.
You served maybe one or two terms and you went back to your private life. And that doesn't mean, of course, being a lobbyist, but it means going back to your farm, going back to your business, and going back to your family. And that was it. Certainly the founding fathers were like that. And up until, I don't know, maybe the 20th century, I guess maybe it's the 20th century when that changed.
Yeah, late 20th century, really.
Yes.
But even, you look at, well, I guess Clinton was the first one who became overtly involved in politics after his presidency had ended. That stupid foundation, that graft mechanism that he and his harridan wife created.
Well, Jimmy Carter, too, with his... was it Habitat for Subhumanity or whatever the hell crap?
Yeah, something that was sort of a cute idea. I don't know how effective it was, but I didn't find that offensive. Habitat for Humanity. That was
right.
A nice idea. I think it was mostly posturing, but
right.
It wasn't overtly political. But the Clintons certainly were overtly. Obviously, they are.
That was a graft machine. That was without
yeah.
a doubt the money they pocketed from the private sector and elsewhere. I mean, look what they did after that Haiti earthquake in 2010, was it? I forget when. Oh my God.
Yeah, they made a ton of money there.
They made millions, if not billions of dollars. It's unbelievable.
Lovely.
Yep. So Plattner, Elaine Chao, and McConnell, and that's what's going on here in America right now on the heels of our 250th birthday, ladies and gentlemen. Happy birthday, America. The founding fathers are rolling in their graves.
Yeah, but we had a successful celebration of 250 years of an absolutely magnificent, unique country. And I think that America does appreciate it. One of the
we
things that I
do.
noticed over the weekend was the inability of the left to just set stuff aside for 24 hours. I read what's his name, Joe Walsh, the scummy one-term Congress, the sleazebag one-term congressman from Illinois, who apparently, I mean, there's this credibly accused of corruption as a congressman, but he left Congress and then he became a rabid anti-Trumper, and he's just a fucking lunatic. I poke at him every once in a while. On X, and even on Independence Day, he couldn't keep his fucking mouth shut. He couldn't say, you know, America, happy birthday. No, no, no. It had to be shots at Trump. Like, dude, get a life. And that, but that in microcosm is the left. They simply cannot enjoy the world. And most of all, they cannot enjoy America. And Sefton and I were talking before we started recording, and he pointed out exactly why that is. And why don't you fill in the blank there?
Will do. Well, as we know, the left hates America, hates our country, our history, our heritage, our founding. They have a hate on for this country that is just unbelievable and have tried to destroy it for literally since Aaron Burr murdered Alexander Hamilton. So to pause and to praise America is completely antithetical to their worldview that we're the worst country in civilization ever. So they cannot praise America. They've been trying, how can they praise it at the same time while they're trying to tear it down? Can't do that. I suppose if they,
people.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, it's just, I forgot who it was. It was one of Mamdani's cronies who all they could do is keep bitching and moaning about slavery this, slavery that, so on and so forth. Colonialism, white supremacy, blah, 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 blah. Oh my God, just shut up and give it a rest already.
Yeah, slavery.
There's and of course, yeah.
You know, when you think about the modern day slavers in the Arab world and probably in Asia, they're plugging along with their slaves. You know, much
and
of
they were the ones who started the slave trade. Hello.
Yeah, but much of the, you know, much of the labor that keeps the Arab world functioning, especially in the Gulf states, is foreign labor, and much and not much. I shouldn't say much, but some portion of that labor is certainly forced. Who was it? Qatar, who hosted the one of the World Cups recently?
Yes, Qatar. Qatar, a couple of years ago. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, supposedly those stadiums were built by slave labor.
No, absolutely. I mean, I had the ability to want to travel once to Dubai and to Bahrain, and indeed, it is. Yeah, the labor there is. You, it is. It's a very poorly kept secret, but much of the labor force there is basically slaves. Oddly enough, from the so-called Palestinians, that's some of them, and then other places around the Muslim parts of Africa and so on and so forth, and Pakistan, they are all basically indentured servants.
It's amazing, and they criticize us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
anyway,
so what's amazing is that black people gravitate toward Islam and want to convert to Islam, and it's like if they only open their freaking eyes and their heads to see what was going on. I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Eldridge Cleaver, who many, many years ago, who pointed this out, either in Soul on Ice or wherever. And he was roundly criticized by black Americans for having the gall to actually call a spade a spade. And he called it out. But there you go.
Well, I respect him for very little, but I have to respect him for that.
He did right, exactly. He at
yeah.
least he told it like it was back then, but and that was it for him.
Yeah. So let's move to Europe for just a few minutes. There are a couple of things that are going on in Europe that are interesting. The first thing is that NATO is having their meetings in Turkey, which it sounds like a joke, but it isn't. Of course, Turkey is part of NATO. They are pushing for what Donald Trump has demanded, and that is that they increase their defense spending up to 5% of their GDPs. If you dig down into that number, it's actually smaller. The way they have weaseled around that is that they're going to increase their defense spending by 3.5%, and their infrastructure spending on ports and highways and so on, airports, by 1.5%. So that gives them an out to be wishy-washy. Whether NATO is going to step up and pay their fair share is an open question. My guess is, of course not. Let's not be silly here. This is Europe. They have relied on America since 1942. to protect them, and that's not going to change.
There are a couple
Sad.
of flies in a couple of flies in the ointment here with what's going on. Number one is there is a real pressure on President Trump to fork over money and aid to Ukraine, and I certainly hope he does not fall for that shit. That would be horrendous. As we said before, the war in Ukraine between Russia and Ukraine is a regional border dispute that has no bearing on American security at all, period. And it should be avoided, and it's a waste of money. The other thing, and we're talking about Turkey, is I saw with some consternation about a week or so ago, we're planning on selling to Turkey, I don't know, several very highly advanced F-35 jet fighter jets.
Yeah.
Now that is insane, given Turkey is basically an Islamic country. Forget about them being NATO members. I guarantee you that whatever they're buying it for, they're going to sell it. Sell some of the technology to Iran, to the Chi-coms, and to our enemies. Forget, I mean, it is really, I can't understand why we're doing that, but that's horrible.
It's the art of the deal. Donald Trump
Ugh.
wants everybody to orbit his son. And I think that's
Ugh.
I agree with you completely. It's a huge danger. So
Anyway.
yeah. Well,
Now,
I
we
didn't
could
want to
preach
get
all we want about
depressed.
Elaine Chao, but I mean, when we're making idiotic mistakes like this, it's beyond me. But anyway, Turkey needs to be booted from NATO. I mean, NATO is a relic of the past anyway, as it is. But certainly to have what's basically Iran's alter ego and rival for the number one center of power of the Islamic Caliphate is yeah, that's ridiculous. Unless and until Erdogan and the Islamic control is excised from that country and it returns to what it used to be, which was a relatively pro-Western country, we're in
Hell,
they're in
they were
trouble.
pro-Israeli.
Pro-Israeli, they were allies. Yes, there was a great. It really was a wonderful place.
Unbelievable.
Anyway.
The scary thing about Turkey is that first of all, they have a significant weapons industry. Their armed forces are a real armed force. This isn't these are not paper tigers. These are tough
No.
men. They have a serious army, and it would be no joke if they were the bad guys. But second of
Yeah.
all, they are quite a nationalistic country. Turks love Turkey, and that goes a long way to giving Erdogan support. Is he supported by the majority? I doubt it very much. But that doesn't really matter. He's got the power, and he's going to keep it. And what happens after Erdogan is what's going to be really interesting.
Absolutely.
I think Turkey is done. Erdogan is just the first of many. But yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope
So,
so too. It will be nice if it returns to the oh, who was the I forget
Atatürk,
the
Kemal
Kemal
Atatürk.
Atatürk, who brought Turkey into the westernized it. I
Yeah.
mean, yes, he didn't banish people from praying or doing going to mosques or whatever. He didn't outlaw Islam, but he certainly removed the Islamic influence from the government and steered it into the West and modernized it. And in a sense, a modernized Turkey with an Islamic influence is basically Iran, but speaking Turkish instead of Farsi.
Yeah,
So
and the ability to build their own weaponry, which scares the shit out of me.
that is very scary. Absolutely.
Anyway, so remaining in Europe, the Marine Le Pen, who is a slightly right of center politician in France, was convicted of embezzlement in a ridiculously political trial. And the original sentence did not allow her to run for president again. Now, she went to the Supreme Court, or the equivalent of the Supreme Court in France, and I forgot what it's called, the Cour de, I forgot. Anyway, and they reduced the penalty so that she now might be able to run in 2027. Now,
Wow.
she has to wear an electronic tag, according to the Court of Appeal. And to me, that's insulting in the extreme. And of course, that's the intent. Anyway, this is a modestly good bit of news. Le Pen is probably France's last hope. She's not a big fan of the Arabs and the Africans who have inundated France. And she is certainly a patriot and loves France. She's probably also a socialist, just like everybody else in France, but that's a different issue. She will probably defend French culture as president far more effectively than anybody else on their national stage.
She and Nigel Farage, are the last, the last best hopes for France and England. And, of course, the usual suspects are out in force trying to sabotage them. So, bonne chance, France. Encore une fois, one more time.
We'll see. I think she could probably win this time if she is allowed to run. Allowed to run. Just think about the words that just came out of my mouth. Unbelievable.
That would be nice. Please, God.
So before we wrap this up, I have a little bit of an anecdote to talk about. We had some work done in the house yesterday, replacing some systems, and the young gentleman who came here, there are three or four trucks and 4 or 5 or 6 young men, all of them young men, came in and seemingly did a fine job. They were extremely pleasant. They were neat. They were efficient. They were friendly. And I think they did a very, very good job. And they this is sort of a high-tech replacement for a low-tech system. And they understood the technology rather well. Now that doesn't surprise me because they're all in their 20s. But what really pleased me was the amount of effort that they put in. They weren't dawdling. They weren't screwing around. They worked hard, and I was very, very pleased to see that. The combination of hardworking, knowledgeable young men. Sorry, there weren't any women. Who did a good job makes me very optimistic. Now, listen, this is an anecdote. Does it describe America? I don't know, but I sure hope so. It was very nice to see.
I was very heartened to hear that. I mean, we always hear these stories about, Gen Z slackers and the upcoming move towards socialism and, and all this kind of stuff. And it's very disheartening. But to hear you tell this story, CBD, it's even though, yes, anecdotal and a one-off that it may be, it's still, look, I'll hold on to anything that can give me hope for the future
Yes.
for our country. Thank God.
And listen, we've toughed it out for 250 years, and we have had these eruptions of chaos and these eruptions of angry, violent, political tumult, I guess is probably the best way to describe it, before, and we have survived them. You look at 1861 to 1865. And I don't remember how many men died in the Civil War. 600,000?
Like 600 or 700,000
That's a
total.
huge, huge number. It was a small country then. And we
Right,
fought a civil
we're
war, and our country was not destroyed. Now, you can argue the political ramifications of the Civil War and the measures that Abraham Lincoln had to take. And that's certainly the question whether we will survive that. Is sadly open. But we survived it for another 175 years. And that's a very,
Yep.
very impressive thing. And as I said, we've had this tumult before, and we got through it. So all I can say is that we'll get through this one also.
Please God, absolutely.
I have no data to back that up, but it's just a hope. Anyway, folks, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you very much for listening and commenting and hitting our tip jar and all that neat stuff. And once again, America, happy 250th birthday. You're a wonderful, wonderful thing. You're unique in the annals of man. And I hope to be around for the next 250 years. Sefton, take it away.
Let's see. That would make you, what, 565 years old. Okay, very good. But be that as it may, yes, my dear friends, God bless you all for being here and commenting and listening and hitting our tip jar and supporting us. We truly appreciate all the love and support. And as I've always said, if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be doing this. So thank you for listening to the Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks podcasting, radio, and news network. We bring you everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, from around the world, across the nation, and right up your street. God bless you all, and happy 250th, America. Here's to another 250 more, and hopefully the MAGA movement, the America First movement, the American Republic, and the American experiment, American exceptionalism, us being the exception to history, the exception to tyranny and oppression, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Here's to 250 more and many more after that. God bless you all, and we'll see you again on the next one.
Thanks for listening, folks.